Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Spiritual Success Podcast. First of all, I want to say Happy New Year. This is the first episode of 2022. And I don't know about you, but I feel like it's a very promising year. Now, I think I feel this at the beginning of every year, and the last 2 years, it's not really turned out that way. But it does feel like the world is getting back to some kind of normality. And I've got my Saturn return this year, should be going traveling, all being well. So it is going to be a good year. I'm strongly setting that intention. And some of you may remember episode 20, where I had the lovely Christine Rodriguez from Astrology Now on to talk about Vedic astrology. And this time I decided to do my astrology for the year ahead episode, which I also did last year, with Vedic astrology rather than the Western system. So this is going to be a little bit different, but I thought it'd be good to expose people more to Vedic astrology, the system that I have really grown to love, and I really treasure it, and it's been really, really accurate for me. So I absolutely love Christine. She's just fantastic at what she does. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what's coming up in terms of astrological events for 2022. So we do, of course, talk about COVID. We talk about power. We talk about cryptocurrency. It's just fascinating, and I can't wait to see how it lines up with what's going on in the world. So enjoy this episode, and I hope you have the most magical year in 2022. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a place for spiritual people who want to grow, learn, and succeed in life and in business. I'll be talking to successful spiritual entrepreneurs, authors, and thought leaders to understand what creates a meaningful and soul-aligned life. So come on in, lightworkers, this is your time to shine. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Liz.
Thank you so much for coming on. Again, you are my first repeat guest on the podcast. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
I feel so honored. I didn't know that. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a joy to see you and talk with you.
You're so welcome. Honestly, it's my pleasure. And I'm extra excited because we are going to be talking about the astrology of 2022. Mm-hmm. Now, the equivalent episode that I did last year in 2021 was my most listened to episode of the year. And this year I'm doing it differently because I have spoken a few times about the fact that I've converted in a way over to Vedic astrology. So I'm going to be doing it from a Vedic perspective because this is the astrology system that I personally follow now. So for anyone listening, you know, some of the signs may be different. And I said recently in an Instagram post, actually, I said it's a new moon. And if you follow Western, it's in this sign, or Vedic, it's in this sign. So just be open. Obviously, follow whichever astrology system that you like. But I specifically chose Vedic for this episode because I've personally found it to be the most accurate. So first of all, Christine, I know we've obviously done another episode together, but would you mind just giving people a little overview of you and how you became a Vedic astrologer?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you. And there's nothing I love hearing more than people saying I've transitioned to Vedic. It's always rewarding to hear. Because I myself have also found that Vedic is more accurate in my own journey. And of course, like you said, it's whatever people, you know, whatever works for them. And so the reason that I was drawn to Vedic and that I started studying Vedic is because it is the astronomical placement of the planets. And so for the position of the planets that we discussed today, it's the same position you'll find if you download a star app, go outside, hold it up to the sky, you'll find the planets in the position that I'm talking about. And so they are going to be different than the Western tropical system, but I really encourage people to keep that open mind because it is the astronomical placement of the planets. And I really do think that that has an impact on things. And so I started studying Vedic astrology when I met my first teacher, Mahtab, when I was like 19 or 20. And I had been studying astrology before that and kind of noticing synchronicities like we usually do, you know, when we're on the spiritual path. Most of us find astrology when we're like, you know, younger and we start getting entranced by it. But again, I met him when I started yoga. And so I started doing a yoga practice and I met Mahtab, started studying Vedic astrology. And since then, I've been so lucky to have a series of mentors and teachers. And I got certified a while back. And so, yeah, I've just been really, really blessed. And I think that the universe has just kind of like lined up a series of Vedic teachers specifically, and I've been hooked ever since.
So this is going to give your age away a little bit here, but how long have you been doing Vedic astrology?
Yeah, it's like a decade, which isn't really saying a lot, because when you're trying to study something like this, when you're trying to study the actual science, because Vedic astrology, the original term for Vedic astrology is Jyotish, and Jyotish is the science of light, and it's a limb of the Vedas. Vedas is infinite knowledge. And so it's a support system for our quest of self-realization. And so if you're studying something like that, 10 years is hardly anything. I mean, you know, you've got to be studying it for 40, 50 years before you're like really, really proficient at it. But I do my best. I do my best.
Well, in my opinion, you're wonderful. And I am subscribed to your Patreon. And I definitely recommend anyone listening, if you love the sound of Christine's voice, first of all, I just think she has the most beautiful voice. And just from everything we're going to be talking about in this episode, you will get a glimpse of how incredibly good she is at being able to read charts. And I've had a personal reading from her as well, and it was just fantastic. So let's go into the astrology for 2022. This is kind of a big topic, so I will just ask questions along the way. I have absolutely no idea what's coming up. So do you just want to go ahead and get started?
Sure. Yeah. And just thank you. It's so funny because whenever we first hopped on, I was like, Liz has the most beautiful voice. So I think that we're just kind of mirroring each other. So yeah, looking into 2022, and we do have a lot of really big shifts this year. So when we're looking at the movement of the planets, it's going to be incredibly important to study the quote unquote slow moving planets, because the slow moving planets are really going to be in charge of what's happening culturally, what's happening globally. When we're following the smaller planets or the quicker moving planets like Venus or the Sun, Mercury, they're all changing signs rapidly. They change signs every month. And so, you know, we'll see things with them for sure. But when we're following the movement of Saturn, which takes 2.5 years to change signs, Jupiter takes an entire year to change signs, the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu, it takes them 18 months. They're going to be the planets that really give us insight into what is going to be happening globally and, you know, culturally. And I do also want to say that I am a Vedic astrologer. And traditionally in Vedic astrology, we don't use the planets of Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus. I have been trained to use the outer planets. And I think that they're profoundly helpful, and they are going to give us a lot of insight into what's happening generationally. And this is important because we will be seeing the movement of one of these massive planets that take forever, I mean, several years to transit a sign. And so I think that one of the most important things to mention about 2022 is that we will see the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu transitioning signs. Again, this doesn't even happen every year. This happens every 18 months. And so Rahu and Ketu, they are notorious for bringing about karmic matters. They bring about karmic matters in our life, and they bring about karmic matters globally. And this has been a really interesting thing to watch. Whenever Rahu and Ketu were in the signs of Gemini and Sagittarius, this was when COVID happened. And if we go back several years, we see that they were in these signs when 9/11 happened, when the AIDS virus was prevalent, when all of these massive issues came to the surface. Okay. And then they moved into Scorpio and Taurus. Of course, Scorpio is bringing up a lot of information. It's bringing up a lot of secrets, like we saw with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. I have a full podcast on this. A lot of women's issues come to the surface with Scorpio and Taurus, really interesting stuff. Security, so like traveling. Of course, with COVID, traveling has been interrupted, and we have new ways of trying to travel. And so now, in March of 2022, we're going to see Rahu and Ketu move into the signs of Aries and Libra. And if you know anything about astrology, you know that Aries is a sign of power. It's a sign of kind of like explosion. It's a fire sign. So it's hot, it's heated, it's passionate. And it's the first sign of the zodiac. So there's an emphasis on the individual and a focus on the self. And when we focus on the self, there's this level of independence, of wanting to stand apart. And this is where Rahu is moving. Rahu is forward moving karma, something we're going to be focusing on. So Ketu is moving into Libra. K2 has this element of kind of separating us. It's an issue from the past. It's focusing on past matters. And so all of that to say, I really do think in 2022, particularly after March, there's going to be a lot of shifts in power. I think that there's going to be a big emphasis on the individual, on personal independence. And I do think that there are going to be kind of like power clashes or power struggles that we really see globally. I think that the global powers are going to be shifting. I think that that's something that we're already kind of beginning to see. And I think it will become more pronounced after March of 2022, kind of into 2023, of course, because it will be for the next 18 months when this happens. And so, again, on a global level, I think that we will be seeing those shifts of power. I also think that I do think that there is going to be a lot of heat. I think that there's going to be a lot of controversy, particularly, let's see, in June 26th to August 10th. This is a really hot pocket of time that I think that we'll see a lot of tension globally and a lot of difficulties globally. On an individual level, I think that it's a wonderful time, because the energy cosmically is going to be asking us to focus on ourselves, to isolate our opinion, to not pay attention to what other people are saying or what other people are thinking. It's going to be very polarizing. And so I really encourage everyone to keep that in mind and try to keep a really open mind, try to really resist the polarization, try to really kind of lean towards the Libran energy instead of diplomacy, of trying to expand our awareness and consciousness. Because if you're listening to this podcast and you follow Liz, you know, she is a spiritual teacher. We're on a spiritual quest. And the concept of spirituality broadly is that we're trying to find connection. We're trying to eliminate the boundaries between one another. We're trying to find connection to ourselves and connection to each other. So when we get polarized and we start damning each other for our ideas or opinions or philosophies or whatever, that's the antithesis of what we're trying to do here. So that's what I would encourage us to keep in mind when we move in to this time period. I also think that the more positive attributes of Rahu and Aries is we're going to see a lot of pioneering, a lot of innovation, a lot of creativity. I think that we're going to see new ways of traveling. We may even see new ways of medicine. We may see kind of like amazing things being accomplished with health and the human body. I think that people are going to be doing really amazing things athletically, new accomplishments. So I definitely think that there are positive attributes to this shift, but I think that it's going to bring about extremism, even more extremism. And I think it's going to bring a lot of polarization. Do you have any questions about anything, Liz? I feel like I just rattled on for a while.
Not questions, but I just got a flashback to when I was brushing my teeth earlier this morning. And I think I got this thought through because I was meant to say it today. And I was thinking about the royal family in the UK, and I was thinking about what they've been through in the last year or so and how they're really struggling in a way, because their whole institution is based on people looking up to them and thinking that they're superior and that they're separate. And I've never been fussed about the royal family. Like, I'm not anti, because they bring in so much tourism and it's like, you know, this historical institution, but I'm definitely not pro either. And that's quite a common sentiment in the UK, because we pay so much in taxes for, you know, them to have their palaces and all this kind of stuff. And I was thinking about them today because obviously within the last year, we've had Harry leave the royal family, then do the expose with Oprah, and all the stuff came out about racism. And then also Prince Andrew is obviously embroiled in this scandal, the Epstein scandal, which he is denying. And yet there's physical photos of him with these women. So they're just being hit with these scandals, which are just proving that they're just real people. They have issues like any family. And actually, you know, should we be looking up to them and should we be revering them and, you know, letting them go past in their carriages as though they're above us in any way? So I was thinking about that earlier, and I'm sure there's a big astrological element to that. And I'm sure, you know, who knows, there may be more things coming out, just trying to balance that power in a way. But when you were talking about power and moving more to the individual, that just really came up for me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. And I spend so much time focusing on the US that it's so helpful to have the perspective of someone in a different country, you know? And you are right. And this is what's so fascinating is for the past couple of years, and I remember talking about this, I think briefly on our previous podcast, is Saturn has been in Capricorn, in the sidereal Capricorn. If you follow Western, obviously that's not right. Physically, if we were to look in the sky, Saturn's in Capricorn. So Saturn's been in Capricorn for the last couple of years, and it's been with Pluto. And whenever we have a hard aspect, you know, rather it's opposed or squaring or conjunct, Saturn and Pluto, massive change occurs. And interestingly, Capricorn is the sign of the government. It's the sign of currency. It's the sign of the structures that uphold us. And it's also, you know, like Saturn is kind of like a reckoning of time. And so for the past couple of years, we've been seeing these issues come to the surface within our government, within our economies, within currency, with the rise of Bitcoin and these alternative, you know, ways of managing finances. So we're going to continue to see that into 2022, absolutely. And this is something that doesn't just affect the United States. This is globally that we're seeing these issues come to the surface. And it's, again, they're issues that are not meant to go on. They're collapsing because they're outdated, because they're not helpful, because they're unethical, like we've seen with the Black Lives Matter movement and all these other things, women's issues. And so we'll continue to see these matters come to the surface in 2022, but it really is, in my opinion, it's for the best. These matters are coming to the surface so that they can collapse, so that we can build something that's better. So I definitely really appreciate you saying that, because I think that this, was it Prince Andrew who was photographed?
Yeah.
It's like, that is a perfect example. You know, it's something that came to the surface that nobody knew about. It's a combination of Saturn and Pluto and Capricorn, and then, of course, the scorpionic energy that we had. It's these matters that no one knew about coming to the surface so that we can build something better and hopefully more ethical. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so these people, these folks who are interested in Bitcoin and who are in, what is the other word for it? Not
cryptocurrency.
Yeah, cryptocurrency. Folks who are interested in cryptocurrency, I really think that they're onto something. And I'm not a big pusher of cryptocurrency, though I probably should be. I mean, I think that it really is something that is going to become more and more pronounced. Speaking of, interestingly, when we have Mercury retrograde in any given year, Mercury always retrogrades in the same element. So, for example, if Mercury were retrograding in Aries, it would also retrograde in Sagittarius and Leo. And that kind of sets the theme for the year in terms of mercurial issues. And so this year, Mercury is retrograding in Earth signs. And so we really need to focus on what Earth represents. And so, first of all, I think it's literally the Earth. And there are more things that would suggest this. It's not just Mercury retrograde in Earth signs, but we're going to be reckoning with what we're doing to the natural environment. There is going to be a lot around climate change, around deforestation, pollution, how we treat animals, how we treat the natural environment. This is, again, we have a lot going on in Earth signs. So I think that's going to come to the surface, going to be something we have to focus on. But Earth signs are also everything that makes us stable, everything that makes us feel safe. What is that? It's currency. It's money. You know, like we need money so that we can have things, so that we feel secure. So I think that, again, this is another indicator that finances are going to change. The economy is going to be in flux. And I think that we will be seeing a rise in cryptocurrency or different ways of managing money.
That's good, because my husband invests in cryptocurrency and he invests in multiple different things. He's an engineer, so he loves like maths. He is an absolute spreadsheet wizard. Like, he's really into all of that stuff. I have no idea about any of it, but he has some cryptocurrency. So I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah. No, it's so good. I have a friend, and every time he's like, Christine, it's time to invest in cryptocurrency. The last time Mercury was retrograde, and I was like, well, I can't because Mercury is retrograde. Now Venus is retrograde. And I'm like, dang it. So I need to wait until everything's direct to invest in it.
Yeah, this Venus retrograde is absolutely kicking my butt.
Yeah.
Like, really badly. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. Do you mind if I share a little bit about your chart? I just pulled it up to see.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so from your ascendant, because you're a Leo ascendant with that Jupiter on the first that we love, Venus is aspecting your 11th house of friendships. From your moon, Venus is retrograding in the fourth house. So it's like your inner heart space. It's like what brings fulfillment, what brings happiness, but it could also be real estate. I think you posted about real estate not long ago. It could also disrupt real estate matters or property matters too.
Oh God, we're going through a remortgage on our house. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All fun. Thank you for that insight because yeah, that's totally what I'm feeling.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good for people to hear it so that they know what's going on in case they're feeling off too. So yeah, so that is a little bit. Of course, we have a lot more. And if you want exact dates on anything, let me know. I have a lot of dates written down. The Rahu and K2 shift will happen March 16th, 2022. And again, it'll stay that way for 18 months afterwards. And then, of course, it will be 3 Mercury retrogrades in 2022 per usual. But something that's interesting is that right now we are in Akala Sarpa Yoga. And we'll be in Akala Sarpa Yoga until I believe it's April of 2022. And Kala is time and Sarpa is serpent. And so it's time serpent yoga. And it's when all of the planets are hemmed between the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu. And so the way that I usually describe this is it's like a karmic vortex. Like we kind of get suctioned into this karmic vortex and a lot changes really rapidly. And so it will affect us globally. It will also affect us individually, of course. So if you feel like things, you know, whoever is out there listening, that things are changing really rapidly and really suddenly and you're kind of being forced to make really big life-altering decisions, it really does make sense. We're just kind of in that period. So I was mentioning that, again, I'm just going to say this one more time, from June 26th, 2022 until August 10th, 2022, please be particularly mindful. The summer in general, like even after August into September, we want to be mindful. But really in those dates that I mentioned, because we'll have a combination of Rahu, Uranus, and Mars. And so it can bring sudden, unexpected events that have to do with Mars. So it's going to be accidents, injuries, headaches, heat, you know, getting into these kind of fender benders in our personal life globally. We really want to watch out for that time period because there may be some big clashes or some big events that we want to steer clear of and we want to stay away from. So I just wanted to say those dates one more time. Looking at, because we were talking about the planets that are slow moving. So we kind of checked in with Rahu and K2. Now we're going to check in with Saturn and we'll check in with Neptune as well. So Saturn has been in Capricorn and Liz and I, we were just talking about the implications of Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. So this year we'll see Saturn actually move into Aquarius April 29th, and then it will go retrograde and move back into Capricorn on July 12th. So between April 29th to July 12th, Saturn will be in Aquarius. We're going to get a taste of what that's going to feel like. And I think it's going to be so much different. I think that because, you know, Capricorn is like finances, economy, government, being serious, being structured. Aquarius is like information, knowledge, connecting with people, groups, humanitarian efforts, thinking outside of the box. And so I think that we will get actually a pretty big relief from things that we've been experiencing. I know that a big question is like, how long is the COVID thing going to last? How long are we going to be experiencing this stuff? And I actually think that in 2022, things will definitely lift. I think that things will definitely lift. I think that we will feel an alleviation of things. And I think in those dates from the April 29th to July 12th, I think that that's really going to be a better time and a better period, an easier period in relationship to those matters. So that's something to keep in mind, something to look forward to. I always love whenever a big planet shifts out for a few months because, again, we get an idea of what it's going to feel like later on. Saturn will move into Aquarius for good or for 2.5 years come January of 2023. But for the majority of 2022, it will be Capricorn. And so Jupiter has been in Aquarius it's been in and out of Aquarius for the past several months. And if you listen to Astrology Now, I talk about this all the time because I think it's so fascinating. Jupiter in Aquarius is largely responsible for truth coming to light, for big issues coming to the surface. It was contributing to like the elite corruption and things like that. When Jupiter moves into Pisces, Jupiter will move into Pisces on April 13th, and it will be there for a little over a year. And Jupiter moving into Pisces is going to be a much different feel than Jupiter in Aquarius, okay? And what's really interesting is just a few days after that, Jupiter enters Pisces April 13th. April 17th, Neptune also enters Pisces. This is huge. Neptune has been in Aquarius for the last several years. So this is a big shift in how we're going to feel globally, generationally. And so with this combination of Jupiter and Neptune, moving into the sign of Pisces. So Jupiter is the truth. Jupiter is the guru. It's that which brings lightness to dark. Any of us who are interested in higher learning, higher education, interested in spirituality, interested in seeking the truth, virtue, and ethics, that's a strong Jupiter. Neptune is different. Neptune is delusion and deception, and it's something that is not real but appears real. It also has to do with like massive beauty and really beautiful things. It has to do with drugs. It has to do with like numbing out, but it's also very spiritual. And we'll often see this dichotomy in Vedic astrology is, you know, like Neptune or even Pisces or the 12th house, all of these things, they represent clairvoyance, spiritual undertones, insight, awareness. It represents isolation via meditation, separating ourselves from the world so that we can find clarity. But the dichotomy of that is isolation through alcohol and inebriation, because when we inebriate ourselves and we take drugs or we take alcohol, we're kind of separated from other people. We kind of get zoned into our own head. We're not clear. We can't connect clearly. It could also be isolation through prison or isolation through, you know, some other less savory way. So there's always this dichotomy. And I'm mentioning this because this is a massive opportunity for an awakening, for a massive awakening, for a lot of people to start thinking, there's deeper meaning here. There's more to this life. There's more to this world. A lot of people being interested in spirituality, alternative healing, holistic wellness, being able to see the connection of the body and energy and emotion, which is amazing. A lot of compassion and a lot of sympathy. But, you know, sometimes this can be scary. People can be afraid of that level of depth and that level of awareness. And so sometimes there's the inclination to numb out, to start taking drugs, to, you know, whatever, drink a bunch of alcohol. And so I really encourage everyone, if you are someone who's been wanting to quit drinking, you've been wanting to quit drugs, you've been wanting to kind of turn your life around, this is a really powerful year for it. And I really encourage you to do so because it could take a turn. I think that people are going to be a lot more tempted to numb out, tempted to lean towards addiction. But again, the alternative of that, the dichotomy that we can lean into, is that really amazing opportunity for spiritual awareness. And again, I think that we will see a rise in this and a popularity in this, more people being interested in astrology and tarot and the occult. I think that it will also bring a bigger interest in nature and taking care of the planet, because Virgo is like, Virgo is highly associated with nature, and Jupiter will be aspecting Virgo. So I think that we'll all be interested in taking care of the planet, taking care of animals, taking care of nature, which is really sweet. But again, we may see a rise in drug overdoses, in issues related to intoxication. So we don't want to be a part of that crowd, right? We kind of want to lean in the other direction.
I love that you said that, because one of my questions was going to be, what good things do we have coming up in the year ahead? And I mean, aside from the, you know, the drug side of it, I don't know if maybe there'll be another kind of opioid epidemic type situation, maybe with a new drug, like who knows? But the side of it, when you were saying about more people looking to spirituality, connecting to nature, like I've always felt that intuitively, and you see it happening. I feel like during the pandemic, so many people were creating new spiritual Instagram accounts and turning spirituality. And I really do feel like we're very much just at the beginning, especially with the younger generations. So I love that you said that, because I can totally see that as well, just intuitively.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And you are on it. You are on it for sure. And that's the really interesting thing about the Saturn in Capricorn is it's like we're not meant to be in offices from 9 to 5. We're not meant to be in a cubicle separated from sunlight without vitamin D, without all these other, you know, amazing benefits that we get from being outside. And so I think that that was one of the big things is we're getting to work from home. We're getting more freedom. People who were working office jobs suddenly had time to do their office job, but also create their account on Reiki, you know? And so that's absolutely amazing. And I don't think that we're ever going back to the old way. I don't think that we're ever going to go back to the way that things were in that regard, which I think that's a massive benefit. I think that it's a massive benefit. I think that we are going to have more time to focus on higher states of awareness. So you definitely, you saw it for sure.
I love that. And again, just going back to the generational thing, I think the, you know, the generations below us who've grown up obviously with technology all their life, with the internet all their life, and then they've had the pandemic where they did schooling from home, and they're just, their experience is so, so different of that to say the boomers who are more likely to live by that, you know, you get one job till you die, you stay in that office cubicle, like you said. So definitely, I think as the generations move on and upwards and the younger ones become the bulk of the working population, it's going to be so, so different, as you say. It's just so fascinating. Like, I think we're about the same age. And I think when we're 80, 90, 100, how different is the world going to be? How much has it changed just in our lifetime? Like, we grew up without the internet. You'd call people on a home phone. We had the yellow pages. Like, I don't know what your equivalent was, but like a big phone book that everyone had with everyone's numbers. It was just so different. So I just can't imagine what it's going to be like by the end of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that you said that. And my partner is quite a bit older than me. He's like 13, 14 years older than me. And so he's always like, you were raised with the internet. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. I was raised playing in the forest. I didn't have a phone until I was like 16. And it did not have the internet on it.
Yeah.
It was a flip phone that took 15 minutes to send a proper text message. So it is. It's really amazing to see what's transitioned. And I love that you're kind of, you know, envisioning what's to possibly come. And that is something, though, that is something that I want to mention, because as I was mentioning, there's a lot astrologically that's going to be calling our attention to the natural environment. It's going to be calling our attention to, you know, what we're doing to the planet and how we should be supporting the planet. But I do think that there's a possibility. I mean, there's not a possibility. I think that it's a very sure thing that we're going to be spending more time on the internet. We're going to be spending more time, you know, in that kind of Piscean energy of being kind of sucked into something that's illusionary. And you and I spoke about this before recording. There are so many amazing things with social media. I'm not trying to damn social media. I'm not trying to damn the internet. And there are a lot of downsides to being on social media all the time. There are a lot of downsides to information on the internet. We've got all the information at our fingertips. What's real? What's not? That's the energy of Jupiter and Neptune in Pisces. What's real? What isn't real? What's going on? And we can kind of get sucked into that space. So another thing that I would advise people to do is really make time for nature. Really make time to get outside, to take your shoes off, to walk in the grass, to honor the environment, to honor the trees around you, the ocean, you know, wherever you're living, animals, you know, the creatures that you're sharing the space with. So that's something that I would really encourage people to do, because we're going to be drawn to the things that numb us out. And it's not just alcohol that numbs us out. It's, you know, our other addictions. There are lots of addictions aside from alcohol, screen time, you know, gossip, things that we may be eating or consuming that aren't necessarily good for us, people in our lives that are toxic and not necessarily good for us, relationship styles that are toxic and not good for us. There's a lot of things that we can be addicted to. And so this is the year to really watch those addictions, to really try to steer clear, lean into meditation, lean into spiritual pursuits, find a really good teacher. This is something I mentioned on my podcast, is we may be drawn to teachers who don't know what they're talking about. So we want to vet our teachers, really know that they are sincere in the heart, that they're really good people, that they have a really good practice. and find that good practice for ourselves. And again, just really connecting to the natural environment and higher purpose.
And have we got anything coming up in terms of eclipses?
We will have several eclipses. So yes, we are going to have eclipses. And wherever Rahu and Ketu are, that's where the eclipses are going to be. So we cannot have eclipses without Rahu and Ketu. They are what indicate that an eclipse is coming. So if you have planets in Aries, if you have planets in Libra, in accordance to Vedic sidereal astrology, this is a massive year for you, Liz. You have plenty of planets in Aries in Vedic astrology. So this is a massive year for you because eclipses are going to be hitting those natal planets of yours. And so our first solar eclipse is going to be on April 30th. And again, they always come in pairs. Whenever we have a solar eclipse, a few weeks later, we're going to have another eclipse. And our second eclipse will be on May 16th. So April 30th, May 16th, have those mapped out on your calendar. The eclipse, you can usually feel the eclipse around a two-week span of time. So have those dates down because you'll be feeling the energy. And then our second round of eclipses will be October 25th and then November 8th. So those are going to be like the hot pockets of time that we have our eclipses. And again, if you want to calculate your birth chart, you can go to my website, innerknowing.yoga, click on offerings and then chart. So if you have any planets in Aries or Libra, this is going to be a big year. You want to know which houses those are in because they're going to shake things up in relationship to those houses for sure.
That's so exciting. And the reason I ask that is because I always really feel eclipses like massively. So it's good to know when they're coming. Because like you said, it's not like a full moon or a new moon where you feel it 2-3 days before. It's like a whole situation. So I'm glad that you said when they were.
Yeah, good.
What about any like full moons, new moons? Have we got any where it's two in the same sign kind of in succession?
Oh, interesting. You know, I don't have those off the top of my head. That's a really good question. There will probably be a month that we have one, yeah. But generally, and I know that you know this, but for other people who are listening, we'll always have a new and a full moon once a month, right? So every month comes with a new moon, it comes with a full moon. And then sometimes, like Liz is saying, we'll have an additional phase. And so I don't know off the top of my head. That's a great question.
No worries. It's just because I've had it before where there were two in Cancer, and then on, this is the tropical Cancer, and on one of them, I won an award. And on the second one, I got an email, the first email from Hay House saying they were interested in doing a deal with me. So I'm like, so excited.
Wait, so it was Cancer?
In Western astrology.
Okay. It's super interesting because in Vedic, that would have meant that it's in Gemini.
Gemini, yeah.
And that would have been your 11th house of gains, achievements, awards, certificates. Mm. It would have been 10th from your moon, which is like your career and work. Love it.
Love that. Love that so much.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you can see for the year ahead? Anything later in the year or anything else significant that you think people should know about?
Yeah. So the final thing that I'll say is towards the end of the year, Mars will go retrograde. And so Mars and Venus, they go retrograde the least of all the planets. So whenever they go retrograde, we really want to be aware and be mindful. And I'll explain why. So Mars is going, and there are good things too. Mars is going to go retrograde from October 30th, 2022 until January 12th, 2023. And so whenever Mars goes retrograde, it's, you know, retrograde is an opportunity to do anything with RE, redo, revise, reestablish, reflect, what have you. And Mars is the planet of our energy, of our vitality. It has to do with anger and aggression and frustration, but it's also like it has a lot to do with our willpower. It has a lot to do with our like athleticism, physical vitality. And so when Mars goes retrograde, of course, there are going to be global influences. And in our own personal life, it's a wonderful time to be extra mindful, to not take any unnecessary risks, and to also reevaluate what we're spending our energy on, how we're spending our energy. You know, are we burning out? What can we do to reduce burnout? Are we getting angry, you know, at the drop of a hat rather than really being more mindful with our anger and our aggression and frustration, like how big is our threshold for those things. So in that time period, just be really mindful, try to take things easy, try not to react instantaneously, try to really take time to reflect and respond, because we're all going to be a little bit more prone to that irritability and frustration. But again, if you're someone who uses your body a lot, or if you're someone who uses energy a lot, which we all do, it's a good time to look at how we're spending our energy and what can we do to pace ourselves and not, again, burn out. So that's an important thing to look at as well.
Great advice. And just as kind of an overview, how do you feel that 2022 is going to be different from 2021?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess in an overview, I think that the focus is going to come away from COVID onto other matters. I think that there are going to be a lot of issues coming up globally that are kind of independent of COVID. As I was mentioning, I think that we will see shifts in global power. And I think that that's something that we didn't see a lot of in 2021. I think that we'll be seeing a lot more of it in 2022. And then, as I was mentioning with the Jupiter and Neptune matters, just kind of focusing more on spiritual awareness. I think that we'll have a lot more spiritual development, even more so than we've seen. Again, I think that there will be the issues with the drugs and alcohol as well. And I think that we'll see this focus on innovation and independence. And for better or for worse, I think that people are really going to be wanting to stand in what they believe to be correct and what they believe to be true, which, again, we saw a little bit of we saw a lot of in 2021. I think in 2022, it's going to become even more pronounced. I think that we'll see a lot more people acting on it. And again, I think that we will be seeing innovation. I think that we'll be seeing new things being created. And I think that we may even see a new way of travel being created, which will be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I at risk of repeating the podcast, I think that those would probably be the highlights. I don't want to go on too much.
Amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share or haven't shared about what could be coming up in 2022, or just any notes about Vedic astrology in general?
Let me think. I think that the final note would be to just focus on the grand scheme of things and try not to get so zoned in on our own personal life. And I've mentioned this in the podcast, but I just want to reiterate it because it's important. Because with all of this emphasis on Aries being individual, being separate, being independent, you know, I think that it's going to be so important to remember that the objective of spirituality is not to identify with our ego. It's not to identify with who we are in this body, with this occupation, with this family. It's being able to take several steps back and being like, wow, I am something beyond my physical body. I'm something beyond my thoughts. I'm something beyond my identity and my family and my belief system. And that space within myself exists within every other being, within every other person, within every other animal. And so the closest that we can get to spirituality is to honor that sacred space within one another, even again, like the creatures of the world as well. And so really, really try to stay anchored in that place. If you're feeling radicalized, if you're feeling polarized, if you're feeling judgmental or critical, the other concept, you know, of the yogic path, of this path of spirituality, is to find a neutral mind. It's not to get so shaken up, not to get pissed, not to hate something so much, not to love something so much. It's the neutral thinking of, you know, that kind of equanimity of being able to see things with clarity. And we can't see things with clarity if we're so far on one spectrum of love or hate, of like, of dislike. And so really stay rooted in that and really stay rooted in the neutrality and really stay rooted in the grand scheme of things, not just so honed in on this one moment in time.
I love it. So powerful and such a good message. Where can people find you on social media, and how can they maybe get a personal reading with you if they want to find out what's coming up for them in the year ahead?
Yeah. So on social media, it's astrologynow_podcast. And as you mentioned, I do have my Patreon account. It's patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. That's probably where I'm the most interactive and that people have like the most direct access to me. And I do post weekly, keeping everyone updated on how these transits are going to influence their sign as we move throughout the year. And my website is innerknowing.yoga, where you can schedule a reading at offerings and then readings. So I am kind of booked out several months, but just kind of, you know, again, the best thing to do would probably be Patreon so that you get the weekly horoscopes. But if you want to wait for a reading, you can do that too.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Christine. I hope you have an amazing year ahead.
You too, Liz. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a wonderful year.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and please remember to subscribe to this podcast. I'm sure that like me, you would love for more people to know this information. So if you leave a review and send me a screenshot of it on Instagram, which is at I Am Ms. Roberta, you'll get a $50 voucher code to use on one of my online course launches. This won't be around forever, so go and leave a review now, and I'll see you next time.